What's going on, Reality Daily listeners? This is Jeremy here, and we are talking all things Challenge All-Stars 4, Episode 3. And things are going to look a little bit different this week because I've got Mr. Wyatt here with me instead of Naveed. He's been out sick this week, but Wyatt is coming in the clutch, off the bench. We love to see it, Wyatt. What's up?
Yeah, I love the season so far. I'm just like Cyrus. I'm here, but I'm not here for a long time.
Yeah, so, oh my goodness, but yeah, so let's get right into that, because obviously Cyrus wasn't in the first two episodes, but he's in this episode because Tony time has run out on the Challenge All-Stars 4 house. We see that he has a family emergency and a really quick scene, but Tony's no longer in the game.
Yeah, really unfortunate. I really thought that Tony, I mentioned this to you before we started recording, Tony was my winner pick. He was somebody that I thought was set up pretty well. The reason for it is I think that a lot of people would point to people like Cara Maria and Laurel, but I think that there are a lot of women this season that are very good. You got Rachel, you got Cam, you got Nicole. I think the men's a little bit weaker, and I thought that, you know, there was a better chance of him able to get to that final, where some of these great women, I think, are probably going to end up going home at some point, right? So I just felt like he was kind of a safe pick, and yeah, I don't know. They didn't really dive into what that emergency is. It's not really our business. I just hope that everything is good. And I think it is, because he's on the Challenge 40.
Yeah, props to, you know, hopefully Tony's feeling good. Yes, he is on Challenge 40. So hopefully he's able to get a better run in that season. But we're going back to All-Stars 4 now. So Leroy and Cam are going to talk more about how they're playing this game for their son, and how Cam is actually breastfeeding during the season. Not something you usually see on the challenge stage. What do you think about this inclusion of the storyline?
This is what I like to see on the Challenge All-Stars. I want grown-up problems, you know what I mean? I don't want, like, oh my God, like, I'm missing my boyfriend back at home or something like that. Like, I want real shit. This is real. Like, this is a topic that I think a lot of people can understand, that you have to kind of wake up in the middle of the night to be able to pump. And listen, this, like I said, like, this is grown people problems, and I want to see this. I want the Challenge All-Stars not to be like the challenge, like, I just want to do a 4-week challenge as opposed to an 8-week challenge. I want it to be the challenge that people have, for the most part, moved on with their life, and they cannot commit to the, you know, the turmoil that is the longevity of a regular season. So I like this. I think it really shows, you know, what dealing with relatively young motherhood is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely added that portion. And I think what it shows, you know, Cam and Leroy are going to be pretty strong characters this season. We kind of already gauged that in the first two episodes, but I think why this kind of solidifies it.
Yeah, definitely. I'm really interested to see how they are going to progress as the most unbreakable alliance in the house. You know, as we see this episode, people are going to have to work around them or work with them, one or the other.
Yeah, and we also see how, you know, other alliances are forming. We see how, you know, Nicole and Tony probably were an extremely close alliance. But when Tony leaves, we finally see Nicole and Laurel break their shoulder silence that we saw in the previous week, and it kind of shows more of the bridging of the gap, so to speak.
I hated this because I felt like we missed pieces. I feel like in the second episode it was like, you know, she's like yelling at Nicole. Nicole was like, I don't want to talk about this, or, you know, whatever. I don't want to confront what I might have done wrong. So then she leaves. And then you go in this episode, when Tony comes in to tell her that he's leaving, if you look, like, Laurel is in the bed looking at Nicole, who's looking at her in another bed. So they have already broken the, oh, we're not speaking to each other, we're giving each other the cold shoulder. And then obviously it progressed even more, because this is obviously a emotional moment for Nicole as she loses a friend and an ally. And I'm sure she's worried about what's going on with Tony back home as well. But it's like, we missed a piece here. And I understand, you know, there's only so much you can show. But, like, this is an MTV. Like, you don't have to condense this into a 42-minute episode. Like, you can give us 2 or 3 minutes to, like, lay the foundation of this. I just felt like we were just missing a piece there.
Yeah, definitely at least a piece or two. But I will say, I'm glad we got it, because it does kind of explain. Because we know, like, Naveed and I talked about this, I think, in the in the previous week when we talked about like how epic would that moment have been if we saw them kiss and we didn't know that, you know? We got teased in the super trailer.
Yeah, definitely. And I just think that this is obviously what I think is bringing a lot of people to watch this season. I think most people who watch the challenge will watch the challenge All-Stars. But if you had any reservation seeing that, especially at the end of that challenge, 39, is going to drive people here. So everybody's waiting, I think, on the edge of their seat for when that eventually comes open and then what the fallout of that is going to be.
Yeah. We also see other people start to share some loyalty. We saw it more in the mission or in the challenge, excuse me. But like Jay and Nicole seem pretty close. It seems like Jay might be able to take over this Tony role as Nicole's number one guy. And he credits the fact that they're both firefighters in the New York Fire Department.
Yeah, shocked me at first because I was like, well, they didn't do the challenge together. They weren't on the same Real World season, although they were, you know, right close to each other. But I guess, you know, being from the same area and also having the same occupation, there has to be a level of trust there. I don't think they work in the same precinct. I don't think. But, you know, listen, you have to have trust in your fellow firefighters if you're doing that job. So it's understandable why there would be some level of trust there, even if they aren't necessarily working together.
Yeah. So we're also going to see Ayana and Rachel have some degree of loyalty as well. You know, Ayana was on the road rules, and I think that that may play a role. We obviously know Tina and Veronica also stem from the road rules franchise, and so we could see like a road rules alliance here. You know, obviously Veronica and Tina and Rachel are seen as the inner core within that, but there's a lot of people in the game. You need numbers, and it seems like Ayana could be a number for this side of the house.
Yeah, Ayana and Veronica had probably one of the greater reality TV show fights during their original Real World season. So, yeah, just absolutely love that they're working together. I really thought that she was going to be on her island this season. But I love what she was saying was like, hey, Rachel basically got me in shape. Can you imagine if we were watching, like, I don't know, Celebrity Big Brother or something, and somebody was, like, talking to, like, the woman from The Biggest Loser, and she was like, hey, I was big, and then you got me in shape. That's just so nuts. I don't think we've ever seen anything to that context in reality TV. Like, we've seen something similar to maybe, like, Survivor, where it was like, hey, you're my idol. I've seen you play before. But, like, this is different, right? Because they are equals, but then, like, one person is definitely, like, more well-revered of the other one than vice versa.
Definitely. And we'll talk more about how that kind of hurts Rachel in this episode, but let's get right into the daily. This daily, one of my favorite daily challenge names that we've seen, it's called Domino's Motherfucker.
Yeah, it was weird. Like, when TJ said it, he put a little oomph on the end of it when he was like, motherfucker.
He knew that wasn't getting bleeped because it's on streaming.
Yeah, it was very odd. Definitely one of the greatest names of a challenge. Also one of the worst challenges we've ever seen on the challenge. So damn boring, hard to follow. Even if you like Domino's and know how it works, you couldn't see all the pieces. You know, you weren't able to put it together. But before we get into the challenge, Jeremy, I have to just say this. Even though I love Cyrus, I'm a little bit, like, I call bullshit on bringing him in. And the reason why is not because I think it's unfair. I think it's fine. What I didn't like is last week, you know, we saw that Jasmine left, Tina's in elimination, and Tina basically gets a free ride because, you know, Jasmine's not there. But here's the thing. It's just like Cyrus was the male alternate.
Janelle, yeah.
They had a female alternate ready in Genesis. And I just felt like, I know that Genesis isn't necessarily somebody that's been on the challenge in a long time, so I understand maybe not wanting to bring her in because she's not as well known as somebody like Cyrus. But in my opinion, they should have said, hey, Genesis, we're going to give you an opportunity. We're going to put you in elimination against Tina. And if you win, then you get to join the cast and Tina goes home. But they didn't do that. So for them not to do that and to give Tina a free ride and essentially making the last 10 minutes of that episode incredibly anticlimactic, and then just to bring in Cyrus here, I thought was really odd. I know they needed to do those for this challenge. I get it. I just felt like, hey, like, if you're going to have alternates on location, let's use every avenue that we can to bring them in. We should have seen Tina versus Genesis in the elimination last week.
I see what you're saying with this. Obviously, like, it's a little different because Janelle was in the elimination already. And then this came about. But yeah, and it would have been kind of awkward to bring in like someone just for the elimination, but we've seen that done before. So yeah, it probably could have been done that way. I would have been interested to see if that would have honestly happened, but you know, there's a reason why we're not producers, even when sometimes we feel like we could be. But yeah, let's get into this challenge here. It's a pretty interesting one because, and I also think too, like they knew that they needed to have an exact number of men and women to do this challenge. That I think also plays a role because maybe we would have seen Tony would have left and then there wouldn't have been a guy and then we could have just gone straight to another girl's elimination.
Sure. And I mean, I totally get it. I just feel like, you know, I don't have a problem with bringing Cyrus in. I've always been a Cyrus fan. I root for him 9 times out of 10. I just feel like I just hate when people are brought on location and they're not able to like do anything, especially for somebody like Genesis who hasn't been on in so long. I just felt like you had an opportunity. Somebody quit the game, bring them in. And if you only bring them in for elimination, at least they have the opportunity to be there. You're already paying them, I assume, a little bit just to like be on the location for to be an alternate. So might as well use them and at least make the episode not terrible. I definitely understand bringing Cyrus in here. I just don't like what I feel like was a double standard.
Yeah, I see what you're saying for sure. But yeah, so in this challenge, Adam and Avery are going to be the ones to pull it out. Bit of a surprise there, considering that Brad and Rachel were together. We saw a Jay and Nicole as a potential duo to win. Laurel and Brandon, we saw Brandon had a star at the beginning of the season. You know, but at the end of the day, it is Adam and Avery coming out of nowhere to win this one. What do you think about that one?
Even though I hated the challenge, it definitely was a great equalizer, right? Because it's something that I don't necessarily think that we can look at and say, oh, this team is definitely going to dominate. You know, listen, it's a puzzle at the end of the day. But, you know, we haven't seen Avery do too many puzzles in her short stint on the challenge. It's been a long time since Adam's done any type of a puzzle on the challenge. So it's hard for us to be able to predict it. So I do think that's what made it so predictable. But some of these pairs, even for every pair that was like Rachel and Brad that like seems to be OP, you had a team like Leroy and Flora where it's like, where the fuck did this come from? Like, Leroy should be like somebody that's going to work with some, he should be a hot commodity. Like, people should want to work with him. I can't believe that he either A, got stuck with Flora, or B, chose to work with her. I understand not working with Cam because then you have two different opportunities there to win. But I mean, I would think that he would have his pick of the litter, at least a pick of like 5 or 6 people.
Yeah. So yeah, the bottom teams for this week are going to be Leroy and Flora, Derek and Veronica, Tina and Ayana and Cyrus, Rachel and Brad, Leroy and Flora, Derek and Veronica, and Tina and
Kefla.
Who's Tina with?
Kefla.
Tina was with Kefla. That's right, Kefla. So that's going to be the bottoms for this week. Pretty self-explanatory. You know, most of these players are considered to be the weaker of the group. But Brad and Rachel are in the bottom. What did you think about that incorporation of this challenge?
Yeah, you know, Rachel kind of said like, hey, we weren't necessarily, you know, stopping to like think of the pieces. We just kind of moved and put and moved and put. You do have to kind of have a little bit of a, I guess like a 3D outlook on it. You have to be thinking about what pieces you're going to put before you actually put them down. You can't just like look at the number and go. And that's something that they failed. And you would think that they would have a better hold on that as being, you know, legends of the challenge, you know. But as I said before, when you're just so physical, you know, they're only looking for the win. You know, they want to protect their star. So I understand it, but definitely the biggest shocker of these groups. Most of these other teams you could kind of expect to be in the bottom.
Yeah, so this middle group that's going to decide who goes into elimination is Kara and Ace, Nicole and Jay, Laurel and Brandon, Jasmine and Steve, and Cam, and Ryan. Yeah, so that they're going to deliberate between the 5 pairs. I really thought they were going to be able to keep the pairs had to be voted in together. I think that would have made things very interesting.
Yeah, that would have been way more fun because, you know, we see that, like, Keefla and Tina, like, I don't think that they would have been okay with Tina going in, right? But at the same time, you know, Cam's not going to let Leroy go in. I do think we probably would have ended up with the same teams because now I'm trying to do the math in my head. I can't imagine that Brad and Rachel are going to go in. I can't imagine that Cam's going to let Leroy go in. And I think Derek is so well-connected that he probably would have been able to save himself and Veronica. So I think we end up with the same two guys, but I do think that we would have ended up with Tina against Ayana. And I do think that's probably it definitely would have been a more competitive elimination.
Yeah, but obviously, like, because they're in singles, Ayana is going to, again, start to stir the pot before the elimination. And she's going to basically tell Cyrus that Leroy and Cam need to be broken up. And Brandon overhears this and basically, like, tries to spread it around the house. And that is, that's kind of like what was used against her the previous week on Janelle. And it's like her own medicine. She's getting a taste of it.
Yeah. And listen, she said it, but also there's no problem with her saying it because it is true, right? Like, if you're her, you're not going to win a final against most of these women. So not only do you have to break up these, like, alliances like Cam and Leroy where you don't have the numbers otherwise, but you'll also have to get out the people like Cara and Laurel that are definitely going to beat you in a final. Like, if you're here to win the 250, you have to make big moves like this. So there's no problem with her saying it. I just think that if you're going to say it, you probably need to say it to somebody that's definitely 100% on your side. Two, it needs to be somebody that has connections, which Cyrus does not really as a late entrant. And three, you want to make sure nobody can hear you, especially people that are going to relay that information to Leroy and Cam.
Yeah, not very good. And this, what this does is Cam confronts Ayana about it. It gets, you know, it gets confrontational at the front of the house, and then Jasmine gets in on it, and it creates the biggest argument of the season thus far, it seems.
But one thing I do want to bring up is, what was interesting during this is, you know, Brandon said he heard it, and I kind of get it. You know, he is somebody that's been on the challenge with Leroy in the past. I don't think he's had any seasons with Cam, but he certainly has been pretty friendly with Leroy from what I remember. So it understands why he would relay that information. But Flora relaying the information to me, is Flora going to be in the good? Like, is Flora going to be somebody that is actually potentially going to make a run because she's getting well connected? Because if you tell this to Leroy and Cam, I have to think that Leroy and Cam are at least going to look out for you, at least for the short future, as opposed to, you know, the Rachels, the Tinas, and the Veronicas that are probably, you know, more on Ayana's side than yours. You know, for somebody that I thought was going to be the first boot this season in Flora, I think that she might actually be able to slide by a couple more rounds.
Yeah, I definitely think that, I definitely think she's got that. You know, I think the girls' game is a lot more fluid than the guys, because I think eventually some of these people are going to start to really switch it up. And I think it's going to get really dirty with the girls. I think that they're going to maybe start targeting each other a little bit more, you know, like, fiercely than the men will. I think that it could be a lot more dangerous on that side. And that could really screw a whole lot of things up. But yeah, it's going to be a very simple vote. Cyrus and Keefla are going to get voted in. On the guy's side, there really isn't any drama that surrounds that. The women all want Ayana in, but they're questioning what to do for the second vote. And Cam is going to push for Rachel because she wants Ayana to go, and she feels that Rachel is the most likely to get that to happen. But other people are not feeling, that, Wyatt. This vote, only five people are going to vote for Rachel and stand behind Cam. But Cam's not going to feel super great about the people that don't vote for Rachel, because she feels like voting Ayana is a personal thing, and she really wants her to go. What did you think of Cam's attitude towards this?
Yeah, I think Cam is understandably upset, but I also don't think that she should have expected anything else. You know, in a game where you have connections with, you know, at least a handful of people in the cast, you know, some of these people like Cara and Laurel probably have relationships with more of this cast than not. You know, you're going to kind of sometimes have to make a little bit of a cowardly move to be able to kind of scapegoat yourself there. So I understand Cam's frustration, which is like, I really want Ayana to go. But in a lot of people's mind, they're saying, well, Rachel's definitely going to come back. And when she comes back, I don't want her to be targeting at me. I mean, you have to think that if Rachel is going to come back, like her eyes are going to have to be probably at Cam, right? Because she's looking at this as like, hey, this is the person that spearheaded me to get in. Even if it wasn't to get me out, you know, she still was okay with putting me up. So I can understand some people not wanting to be implicated in that, because it really is. This is actually a pretty big move for so early in the game. Like, I didn't expect Rachel to be going in this early, because I expected that even if Rachel was on the outs, that people would look at her and say, hey, she's tough. She's definitely going to come back, and I don't want that blood on my hands. So respect for Cam for, like, at least making a move that to not make it completely boring this season, but definitely understand why other people would want to kind of, you know, sit on their hands a little
bit.
But
also there's incentive to go into elimination, especially in one like this, where she's able to keep her star. And I think that kind of changes things as well. And, you know, if Cam's confronted about that, like, she could use that as an excuse, like, oh, I just wanted you to be able to get your star. You know, so there's a lot that can be spun into this.
I mean, she can use that, but if you're Rachel, you're like, okay, that's fine if I told you that's what I wanted to do. But, like, you did something that I didn't. You put me in elimination where I could have went home, and I didn't tell you to put me in there. I didn't volunteer, right? So I just don't think that holds much water. I will say this. As much as I understand people kind of, like, scapegoating and, like, doing whatever, I do think that the vote was so clear that you had to go one or the other. You either had to go in someone like Flora, who doesn't have the connections, or you got to go for Rachel here. I hated, like, Ace specifically, who was like, oh, my goodness, like, you know, I really like Rachel. I've been friends with her, so I'm going to vote Veronica. But I've also been friends with Veronica forever. It's like, dude, what fucking show did you think you were on? In the first episode, he also didn't want to vote. He wanted to kind of, like, vote on, like, the complete opposite of what people were doing. He says, I've never been one to go with the pack. And it's like, listen, I respect the fact that you don't want to go. You want to kind of be different. But, I mean, you're not different this time. Like,
well, there's no purpose behind it.
You just throw a hinky vote. It's like,
dude, for not voting.
Why are you here, Ace? Like,
yeah, him not voting for Flora is essentially a vote against Rachel anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just it's just irritating to me. Like, why are you here, Ace? Like, I just don't get it. Like, you know what the game is. You know it's going to get murky. You have to make a decision. And if you're not close, if you're closer with Rachel than Floria, then you got to vote Floria here. Like, don't scapegoat your fucking pussy.
Yeah, definitely a tricky vote for there, but pretty self-explanatory, I think, for both. But there was that wrinkle with who the second person should be. And so I thought it was an interesting little vote, but it really led to a, you know, unfortunately, like, kind of a anticlimactic elimination. You know, Ayana gives a little bit of fight, maybe a little bit more than what she should against Rachel. But as soon as it was Ayana and Rachel, like, it really felt like it was Ayana's end for sure.
Well, here's the thing, right? It's like, if she was ever going to beat Rachel, this was it, right? Like she's not going to do it in anything where she has to run or, like, do a puzzle or, like, be, I mean, maybe a puzzle. I don't know. Rachel,
I don't know. I think the puzzle, she might have had a better shot, yeah, considering how the challenge went, but also Ayana lost the challenge as well.
Exactly. Ayana is, like, a little bit bigger, and I say that respectfully. So if she was going to win against Rachel, this was probably one of the things that she was going to feel a little bit more confident about. Like, Ayana probably beats a lot of the other women in the house in this. It's just unfortunate that she came into this. Like, if Avery had stepped down, like, she would have got flung through that thing, right? So it is unfortunate that the thing was not, you know, competitive, but it was way more competitive than it could have been, right? If it was, like, the thing where they had to do all the balls, like Steven and what's his fucking name?
Tyree.
It's like, I don't know if Ayana could have got out of the pond faster than Rachel could have put all 12 of those in. So I do think at least it was a little bit more competitive.
Yeah. So the arena game was called Down the Tube. And it was probably the closest thing we'll get to Hall Brawl this season, I'm afraid. Once I saw this, that's kind of what I was thinking. But the players are both in this big tube, and there is a big ball in between them, and they have to push the ball and the other person out. Best 2 out of 3 wins. And, you know, for the girls, it's very clear, Rachel has the strength. Although Ayana puts up a good fight, it's just not close. And then for the men as well, Kiefer's size on Cyrus. Like, Cyrus definitely lost a lot of weight training for the challenge. But this was, like, the wrong challenge to do it for because Kiefer had the size on him, and that wasn't really particularly close.
Yeah, and also Cyrus is, like, 107. Like, he's, like, probably the oldest of the OGs. So, you know, unfortunate for him. Like I said, I root for Cyrus 9 times out of 10. But unfortunately, this episode, I did not root for him. Because when you have somebody like Kiefer, who hasn't been on in forever, you know, I want him to stay as long as possible. I think he's probably the person I'm rooting for the most out of everybody, just because he hasn't been there in so long. And I think that would really... I think that would help OGs a lot if somebody who really came out of the woodwork wins this season, especially how stacked it is.
Yeah, so Cyrus was on The Real World back in 1997, and Kiefer was on the Road Rules in the year 1998. So they're around the same time. Kiefer's a couple years younger than Cyrus, but Kiefer had the size, and that's what really mattered here in the win. And then same with, you know, Rachel's strength was just, you know, too much for Ayana. So that's how that's going to end. We get the stars. You know, Kiefer is going to get a star, and he's going to choose to steal Brad's star. What did you think of Kiefer stealing Brad's star over Adam or Steve?
We couldn't steal Adams because he won the challenge.
That's right, yeah.
But I definitely think that he made the right decision here. Obviously, like, you know, it may cause him a little bit of tension here with Brad. But at the end of the day, like, Kiefer's on the bottom, right? Like, nobody's sticking out for him.
Yeah.
Steve is a guy who, if Kiefer is going to do well this season in terms of making alliances and not having to go in repeatedly, Steve is a guy that he has to work with because Steve also has nobody, where Brad is so well connected that it's going to be really hard to imagine that Brad's going to keep you in his plans. So I think that's typically what you want to do with the stars. You want to take it from the person that you're the least connected to, and that's basically what I think Lakeepa had to do here. And then with Rachel, with her star, she basically has to steal from anybody. She can steal from the women in terms of Carr or Tina, or she can steal from Steve. And I was really interested to see if she was going to... I thought she was going to steal from Steve, because I didn't think she would steal from Tina. I thought there was a possibility maybe she would take from Carr just to give it to Veronica so all three of them could have stars. But I really thought that she was going to take from Steve and just give it back to Brad or something like that, somebody that she was partnered with. And now, though, I think a lot of people think that was a little bit of a cop-out in terms of giving it from one friend to another. I do think that it probably ruffles the least amount of feathers, which is something that she certainly needs.
Yeah, I think Kiefer makes the right choice. I think that it didn't really make a whole lot of sense for him to target Steve. And then for Rachel, you know, I wonder if Kara not voting for her made a big difference here. I think it did.
Yeah, I could see that as well. I could see her maybe being a little bit upset if Kara did put her in, so she probably would have been a little bit less like, because you probably would have assumed that it was war at that point.
But also, what we see here, and Rachel and Cam makes a comment about it, Rachel's playing a scared game here. By if she took Kara's star and gave it to Veronica, and so her, Tina, and Veronica would have a star, then that puts the target on all three of their backs. So what she does here, it definitely risk averse, and I think it's the right move for her. Kara is not someone you want on your bad side this early in the game. You know, want to make a play at Kara, do it later in the game or do it at the final. Don't do it in the second elimination.
It's not a scared move when your only options are to take out allies. Like, it's just not. Like, it's not a scared move. Like, it's just a dumb move. And I get it. Like, Cam's the first one to really make a big move here. And, you know, pardon the pun here, but she's basically going to be pushing some dominoes here. And I think that we'll see some repercussions come from that. And I think a lot of people will start thinking that way. But Rachel's still thinking, like, hey, like, if I don't need to burn a bridge, and I'm still thinking I'm working with Kara, why take from her? You know, you take from Tina, she's probably not going to be too upset as long as it goes to Veronica. And, I mean, you could have taken from Steve, I guess. But, like, like similar to Kiefla, it's like if Rachel was going to get back in the majority, because listen, like as much as that people weren't putting in Rachel because they wanted her to leave, they obviously were okay with her at least being sitting down there. So she needs numbers, and Steve is somebody that could be a number for her. So why piss off him by taking the star, especially since you're already probably going to have Brad on your side, I would think. You know, you're not gaining anything by giving it to Brad at this point.
Yeah, I think she makes kind of a smart decision for her. And we will see if Cam and Leroy start to pick up some heat from some other players. Yeah, I do feel like this could turn into the Cam and Lee show. But we know that Rachel is not for that. And so I think that's kind of where the initial conflict will run. But this is going to be where we park for this week. But before we go, obviously, Wyatt, your winner pick, Tony, left this week. Do you have a new one?
Yeah, I guess at this point, I have to go Laurel.
Okay. Laurel. Interesting. We know Laurel's going to be a big part of the season. We know the women have a really good shot to win this one. So we'll have to see how it plays out in these coming weeks. But be sure to come here every week. We've got Challenge All-Stars 4 coverage. We also have Survivor 46 coverage and Amazing Race 36. Wyatt and I are talking on both of those shows. So be sure to check that out. Like, comment, subscribe, wherever you get your podcast so you don't miss a single episode. And we'll be back before you know it for the next episode of the Challenge 46 recaps, or All-Stars 4 recaps. There's a lot of fours and sixes moving around these shows, damn it. But yeah, Challenge All-Stars 4 each week. Come back to Reality Daily, and we'll see y'all for the next one.